Welcome to the Fuller Tracing Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 25th of September, and I'm recording at somewhat late, 11:28 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, interesting day, and dominated by weakness, but that didn't start in Australia. The Pacific region, Asia-Pacific region. First, Japan had a terrific day here, big gains, but it's likely to be challenged tomorrow, given what happened elsewhere. Now, the Hang Seng Index was down another 153 points. It's back at 23,768. Now, the breakout point to the upside has... What was it, 24,000. So almost 250 points below that, this is looking like an upside failure for Hong Kong. Now, that's somewhat of a concern, and will be until we get another upper dynamic to indicate that demand is returning. The Shanghai Composite Index, though, remains firmer. It was only up a tiny bit here today, but the weakness of Hong Kong, that may suggest that the Shanghai Composite is also susceptible to a pullback and some consolidation of recent gains, but I don't think it would get a big shakeout. Elsewhere, we had mostly weakness in indices. India also down again over 1%, just over 1%, but it's pulled back beyond its last little low, and the low when we had seen that upward dynamic last week. So this is going to see a little bit more mean reversion in here towards the 200-day moving average. One of the few gainers here on today was, in addition to Japan, was the Indonesia stock market, up just over 0.5%. Now, the greater drama occurred in Europe and the United States, and actually Europe's weakness really owed more to what was going on in the U.S. than anything else. But widespread declines. Everything was down in Europe here today. German DAX down 1.57%. The Euro Stoxx 50 down 1.29%. A number of 1% or more declines evident among these indices. And as for Wall Street, it had its biggest pullback in a number of months, for sure, and the Dow is down 1.5%. That brings it back to 16,945, so it's back below that 17,000 level, obviously. The S&P, which was always going to have trouble at that big psychological round of phobia 2000 level, and after trading above it, slightly above it for a few weeks, is now down to 1966. Canada, well, now let me get the NASDAQ in there. NASDAQ had the bigger decline, and that's down 1.94%. That's the NASDAQ Composite Index. And the Russell 2000, again, pulling back closer to that lower side of the range. It has not broken down yet, but keep an eye on that. And what else to mention here? Mexico down 0.75%. Brazil 1.5%. Looks like we may not get a change of government there. That's the fear, although it's still very close. So let me try to summarize here. What does all this mean, rather than just quoting the percentage changes? Well, Wednesday's rally, which briefly checked a three-day slide in the U.S., It now has the look of a last hurrah about it. There was also a sucker punch, which triggered some stops for short sellers who've had a tough time during Wall Street's largely, it must be said, bulletproof rally since the October low nearly 3 years ago. Meanwhile, we also had latecomers to the bull market piling in over the last number of months. So what happens next? There are plenty of concerns, as Fuller Tracy Money has been pointing out. These range really from the comparatively new geopolitical risks of concern, obviously Russia in Ukraine and the associated reciprocal sanction policies that we see. The other big geopolitical risk is, of course, the Middle Eastern war against ISIL terrorists, which we are told by President Obama will be lengthy. Now, inevitably, this involves uncertainties of battle and the risk of reprisal attacks on the countries now supporting Iraq's new government. Even without these costly ventures, we knew that the U.S. stock market was, on average, far from cheap, including on a relative basis with equities in other countries. We also know that quantitative easing, QE, which ends next month, certainly pushed stocks higher, as it was intended to do. Now, corporate earnings, which I've been saying all along, have also been flattered by share buybacks. There's the unresolved background of high government debt, which some analysts have been worried about for quite some time, largely because that debt will become more expensive if, or really I should say when, interest rates rise. And leverage used by investors has increased against the background of rising share prices and historically low interest rates. New issues are also rising, as we certainly know, and Wall Street still has an Alibaba hangover, that's obvious. Market breadth is deteriorating. Keep an eye on that Russell 2000 index, which remains the canary in the coal mine for that. And more recently, still, might iconic Apple, which was up on its highs or up near its highs just last week, might it have stumbled with bendy new larger phones? Well, Apple says there have only been 9 complaints about that, but we'll see. And I think more importantly, with Apple pulling back from its highs, if we see a bigger correction in Apple, that certainly would spill over into sentiment in some of the other tech shares that have been so fashionable recently. The stronger U.S. dollar is a potential headwind for corporate earnings. And seasonally, the quarter, well, we know the quarter is ending, and that can be a little bit turbulent. And also, September and October, well, they have the reputations for being tricky months for Wall Street, and it doesn't look like they're going to disappoint, although that may not be the best way to phrase that. So in other words, there are plenty of reasons why the long overdue 10% correction could easily occur. I've been saying that quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. Nevertheless, the background is far from alarming. That's the important point. I mean, monetary policy remains accommodative despite the imminent ending of QE. Government bond yields, as we know, remain low, and inflation is not a problem, at least in terms of what the U.S. government reports in its statistics. In fact, lower commodity prices, not least for crude oil, are favorable for the U.S. economy and most other economies and global GDP growth in general. The U.S. economy is the clear leader also in terms of technological innovation. But that may not be all that significant here in the short term, as markets are weighed on by this supply problem and investor nervousness over geopolitical events. So in conclusion, while we should not be surprised to see a correction that would provide another buying opportunity, that I feel quite strongly would provide another buying opportunity. Meanwhile, I would continue to be cautious about leverage. I would try to eliminate it. And I'd also be cautious for a while about high-flying, fashionable momentum shares, which are vulnerable in this environment. And I know they can astonish on the upside, but when you get a fright, and certainly if we saw a 10% correction, we'd see some pretty sharp moves to the downside in those sectors. For safety, high-yielding shares with covered dividends, they remain a comparatively safe haven. They've also underperformed. So there isn't so much profit taking to actually take place there. Now, if we get a Wall Street correction, and that's not a certainty, but it's a high risk, that usually triggers even larger reactions in many other stock markets. My guess is still that China would be less affected, not least because it has lagged on the upside, but it is also only beginning to recover and has some of the most attractive valuations. So what's going on elsewhere here in terms of I think the in terms of market moves? I think that U.S. 10-year when I last looked was at 2.53, so that yields just a little bit lower, not significantly lower, given the the sharp reaction that we've seen here today. U.S. dollar is pretty strong. That dollar index is up again at 85.187. Now that's against European currencies, of course, but the dollar has been appreciating against most currencies over the last couple of months, as you will be aware. European examples here, the euro, it's down to 1.2754. Sterling's holding fairly steady here, still in this 1.6320 region. The Aussie dollar has moved a little lower recently, 0.8793 against the US, and Japanese yen, it's just come off that 109 level against the dollar. It's currently 108.60.68. Elsewhere, gosh, those soft commodities, particularly the grains and beans, hit in here again today. Now, that's good news in terms of global food costs. We still have expensive beef prices, but most of the world doesn't eat that much beef. And the staple grains, things like rough rice, they're considerably more important in terms of the global population, and so there's no problems there. That's favorable. Crude oil is favorable at these levels, and it's just eased a little bit further in here today. So no, although this big downward move that we've seen for Brent and WTI, it's lost some downward momentum being sharply oversold, but it certainly hasn't broken back to the upside in here. Metal prices, industrial metals have held up a lot better than precious metal prices. I say to my chagrin, because I've got a couple of small positions there in the in the precious metal, which I'd hoped would be a something of a hedge in here, but there's no evidence of that yet. palladium, excuse me, fell quite sharply today, down over $17, brings it back to 802.75. Silver, it's been one of the weakest here. It's down to 17.51 today. Gold, it's been a little steadier overall. I think it's just up a fraction here today, but well, I think we had the same price yesterday. $1,222 and a little bit of change. And platinum, I let my platinum position roll forward here today, but took a loss on it, and that's only at 13.15 right now in after hours trading. So, sum it all up here, the big story. Well, because this is a running story. These precious metals very, very oversold, but nobody's interested, and people are talking them down. So the Goldman Sachs group still has appear to have the control. Well, not appear to have the control. They do have the control, and they're getting interesting though, as they come down. But I wouldn't go rushing in if you are potentially interested in those, not just yet. And stock markets, well, it's going to be choppy at least. Okay, all the very best to all of you.